We read scripture this afternoon from 1 Timothy chapter 6. And on the basis of this passage and all of scripture, consider the instruction of Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. 1 Timothy 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather let do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word. On the basis of that passage in all of Scripture, I call your attention to Lord's Day 50, page 26 in the back of the Psalters, question and answer 125. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. so far in your consideration of the Lord's Prayer, which is the model prayer that Jesus Christ gave to the church to teach the church how to pray. You have considered the address of prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, which teaches us not only in the address, but that in the whole of prayer, our attitude must be one of childlike reverence and trust. And then after the address of prayer, after God is approached appropriately, we bring our petitions. Petitions are requests. And so far you have considered the first three requests. These three requests have to do with God. God is first in prayer. God's holy name, God's kingdom, and God's will. And there we have important instruction for prayer and for our outlook for the entire Christian life. And that is this, that our priority is always God. God be the glory. God's name, God's honor comes before our needs in prayer and in the rest of our lives. That we must understand when we come to the fourth petition, which is the first petition of the second set of petitions. Divide, we do, when we outline the Lord's Prayer, the petitions into two groups of three. There are six petitions, three that have to do with God, three that have to do with our needs. And that begins with the fourth petition, our needs. We pray here for our physical, earthly needs. Jesus teaches us here in this fourth petition to recognize that God our Father cares about our physical, earthly needs. This is comfort for us when we come to this fourth petition. We learn here from Jesus Christ that God has sympathy for us in our earthly needs. He cares when we are hungry. God does, our Father. He cares when we are poor and do not have enough money. He cares for us when we are sick. God does. We must not think that God is too busy, that He has more important matters to attend to than to care about our physical, material circumstances of life. Jesus teaches us in the fourth petition, God, our Heavenly Father, cares. But the comfort also, as we come to this fourth petition, is that God is the provider of our earthly physical needs. The Catechism has us this morning recognize that we must withdraw all our trust from creatures, that is, from mere weak creatures, withdraw our trust from ourselves, withdraw our trust from our parents or our employers, and recognize God alone as the provider of all of our physical, bodily needs. And if we pray this fourth petition in faith, we may do so recognizing that He has promised He will give us what we need. And we can confess with the psalmist, and Lord's Day, in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. I call your attention then to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer this afternoon. The fourth petition. Noticing in the first place the need that we have in this petition. Secondly, the attitude that we must express. And then thirdly, the request. starting with this fourth petition, we acknowledge our needs before God. The Catechism teaches us, first of all, to pray for our physical, earthly needs. Not because these are our most important needs. We'll see that even in this Lord's Day this morning, that we have another need. We do not live on bread alone. But the Catechism does emphasize here that in this fourth petition, when Jesus teaches us, pray for bread, He is teaching us to pray for our physical needs. The Catechism says, give us this day our daily bread. That is, here's the explanation, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. We pray this petition knowing we have needs for our bodies. This means, this explanation of the Catechism means that the Catechism does not spiritualize the fourth petition. The Catechism does not take the bread Jesus mentions in this petition and make it refer, for example, to the Word of God. We know that Jesus said, quoting the Old Testament, man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so there are some who want to interpret this fourth petition as referring to the Word of God, spiritual food. But the Catechism teaches us here to pray for all things necessary for the body. That means that in the fourth petition, bread must be understood literally. Jesus says here, pray for bread, not bread only, for all the food that you need. Butter, for water, for milk, for cheese, whatever you need for the body, bring those needs before God in prayer. This is an important practical matter. In prayer, we do not want, as we have already been instructed by the Lord's Day, to ask for anything but what God has told us to ask for in His Word. We understand that in prayer, we do not bring to God requests for anything we want, anything we think of, but that we must be guided by the Word of God. And if God, in His Word, does not give us permission to ask for our physical needs, then we may bring them in prayer. But here in the fourth petition, we are assured we may bring our physical needs before God in prayer. In fact, God commands us here to ask Him to provide all things necessary for the body. All things. Bread is not limited to only bread. Here in the fourth petition, bread symbolizes not only food, even, but it symbolizes health. In order to function, to carry out our daily callings, we need health. Sickness prevents us from being able to carry out our daily activities. To function in this life, we need health, and we are taught here in the fourth petition to ask God for health. We need clothing. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, man must cover up his nakedness. He needs clothing. And modest clothing. Not immodest clothing. Not clothing that hardly covers the shame of nakedness, then we might as well be naked. But we need modest clothing. We need to ask God for that clothing. We need shelter, especially in wintertime here in Wisconsin and in the area of Chicago in Illinois. When the temperature falls below freezing, sometimes even below zero, we need shelter. And we must bring that need before God in prayer. So the fourth petition teaches us that we we must recognize we have physical earthly needs and pray for them. And then recognize that we need Jehovah God to provide these things for us. Yes, we depend on God for salvation from sin. We depend on Him for victory over death, for the resurrection of our bodies. We depend upon Him at the moment of death to take our souls to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. This is the faith of the disciples of Jesus Christ, that they understand they need God even for their material needs. Every breath comes from God. The air we breathe comes from God. For work, man depends upon God. The economy is not controlled by the federal government. It's not controlled by the state government of Wisconsin or by the local government. The economy is controlled by the providential hand of God. We must not take for granted the opportunities to work. God gives the opportunity to work. And we must not take for granted either the ability to work. God must give the ability to work. And because that's true, and God is pleased to give money with which we buy food and clothing through work, it means that we depend upon God for everything we need. We absolutely depend upon God for all things. Now, the Catechism doesn't deny the need for care and industry. You notice the Catechism uses those words, our care and our industry. The Catechism is speaking about our calling to plan. Care here does not refer to sinful worry and anxiety. We may never worry or become anxious. And yet the wise man and the wise woman uses sanctified wisdom to plan things, to plan how to provide or to seek to provide for earthly needs. And the Catechism speaks of industry. The Catechism doesn't merely speak of work, but industry implies hard work. Yes, there is a certain Calvinistic work ethic. The people of God work hard. They work hard as farmers, as doctors, as lawyers, as carpenters, as housewives. The people of God are industrious. But the Catechism teaches us never to think that anything that we have has been gained by our care or industry. This is my money because I earned it because of my hard work. This is my house because I built it with my own two hands. These possessions belong to me. I earned them. It was through my cleverness, my planning, and my hard work. No. No. Catechism says here that our care and our industry can profit us nothing without God's blessing. They labor in vain that build the city, unless God build the city. The biblical teaching is that God is the provider of all things, even of all material things. When James says every good gift comes from above, he means even the good gifts of this earth. All things are provided by the providential hand of God. And we must live day by day out of the hand of God. Even the rain, the Scriptures say in Psalm 147, verses 8 and 9, comes from God. God covereth the heaven with clouds, prepareth rain for the earth, maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. And even the children can understand the importance of that. With no rain, there's no grain There's no bread. There's no food. God provides the rain. He provides the food. Jesus also very plainly teaches this in Matthew chapter 6, where He speaks of the need of raiment, that's clothing. He speaks of the need of food and of shelter. But He speaks not only of our need for these things, but also the need of the creatures of the earth, the ravens and the lilies. The ravens need to be fed. The lilies need to be clothed upon. And who does this? God. God feeds them. God clothes them. And then Jesus says, "O ye of little faith, how much more shall He feed and clothe you?" The house that you have, the cars that you drive, the food in your cupboards, the clothes that you are wearing, all must come and do come from God. And so we have need of material things, and we have need of God to provide these material things for us. But then, thirdly, our need is for God's blessing. Catechism says, "Neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing." We pray for material things and for God's blessing because we know that material things do not profit, are no good to us without God's blessing. The Catechism here, then, though the theory of common grace did not exist when the Catechism was written, the Catechism condemns that theory. That theory has, among its errors, this error, that God blesses by giving things. If you have clothing, you're blessed by God. If you have money, you're blessed by God. If you have a good job, you're blessed by God. And God, then, the implication is, curses by withholding or taking away things. If you're poor, you're cursed by God. You go hungry, you're naked, you're sick, you are cursed by God. The Catechism makes a distinction between things and God's blessing and God's curse. Having much does not necessarily mean having God's blessing. And having nothing does not necessarily mean having God's curse. And of course, Scripture makes this plain. Think of the ungodly men who were wealthy in Scripture, such as Pharaoh at the time that I preached this sermon in Peace Congregation. We were considering a series of sermons on Daniel. And there's the great Nebuchadnezzar, the king of a worldwide kingdom. Mighty, powerful, rich king. And one of the themes in Daniel is that God gave Nebuchadnezzar his position and his wealth. God gave him his power. But it's also clear in Daniel that God did not love Nebuchadnezzar or bless him, but gave him these things for his condemnation and destruction. Material things in themselves are not a blessing, as Jesus makes plain when He asks, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" In other words, we do not seek merely after money, after jobs, after clothing, and the things of this world, but after the blessing of God. And that blessing is our salvation. That blessing is the forgiveness of sins. That blessing is that the God of all our salvation works all things for our good and salvation. And that's more important to us than material things. It can be difficult to pray this way. But if we pray this way, then it's, God, give me money. If that money works my spiritual good, and if that money will be a curse to me, don't give it. Give me a home that will be a blessing to me. And if the only home that will be a blessing to me is a little shack, then give me that little shack. And if a mansion will be a curse to me, don't give me a mansion. We need the blessing of God so that whether God gives us food, drink, health, prosperity, or the opposite, that we know these things work for our good and salvation. We need the blessing of God so that we may be comforted, especially in those times when, from a material point of view, things aren't going well. What do we say to the members of this congregation who don't have health, for example? Probably everyone here has the food and the money that they need. But there are sick among us, those who bear infirmities. Is God's curse on them? No. No. For God works all things for the good of those whom He loves in Christ Jesus. So we need material things. We need God to provide those material things. But above all, we need God's blessing. And if we understand our need properly, then that will lead to the right attitude in this fourth petition. And as we pray for our daily bread, we notice, first of all, that the attitude we need is humility. We need to be like little children, as Jesus says in Mark 10, where He says, pointing to a little child, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." Little children humbly depend on their parents. And Jesus points to adults and says, you need, even as adults, to have that humble, childlike attitude. That's the trouble with adults, isn't it? Jesus knew that about His disciples. They begin to depend upon themselves, their own strength. Or they begin to trust in their own riches. That's what Paul warns Timothy, or tells Timothy to warn the rich about in Ephesus. There were rich people in Ephesus, people who had all that they needed and more, people who had bank accounts and retirement accounts, and who, if they became sick, knew that they could pay the hospital bill. They could take care of themselves. And in verse 17, He says to Timothy, "Charge them that are rich that they not trust not in uncertain riches." Well, in the south side of Chicago, Lansing, Illinois, the congregation at Peace is a congregation of people who are rich. And though I do not know this congregation as well, I think it would be right for me and accurate for me to characterize this congregation as rich too. What does rich mean? It means you have more than you need. You have more than you need, you're rich. Trust not in uncertain riches. Do not trust that you will be okay because you have a bank account with money in it. Do not trust that you will have what you need because you have a freezer full of meat and cupboards full of food and a fridge also full of food and drink. These things are uncertain. Do not trust in them. Beloved, we must become like the 2 or 3 year old child, the children we have in our homes. They trust mom and dad. They humbly trust, believe that the food comes from them. Mom and dad will supply the needs that we have. They do not give credit to the bank account, to the refrigerator or the cupboards. They trust their earthly parents. So we must trust our Father in heaven. And we must trust Him, believing that He knows our needs better than we do. This is a very important attitude for the fourth petition. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, know that when you go to your Father with your needs, and that's what we begin to do in the fourth petition, your Heavenly Father knows your needs before you ask Him. He knows. And that means sometimes what you ask for, you will not receive. That means that sometimes God's answer when you ask will be not to give you what you think you need, but to give you what He knows you need. Now, is this a guarantee? That's a question we face. Is this a guarantee that as Christians, never be hungry? Never starve, never go naked, never be sick. No, we know better than that. That Christians are poor, are hungry, are sick, and that Christians even die. Then what? Has God failed? Has God failed to be good to His people? The answer is in here by the Apostle Paul in chapter 6 in verse 19. When after telling the rich that they must not be high-minded and must not trust in uncertain riches, the Apostle reminds them that they are laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Beloved, God knows that we need the forgiveness of sins. He knows that we need eternal life. And though we don't know how all things in this life work together to work our salvation, God has a wise plan. And we may be confident of this. That if we hunger, if we are sick, we suffer want, that's God's way. And He will use that for our salvation. Our attitude then must be humility, knowing that God knows what we need before we ask. But it also must be contentment. Spiritual contentment that says, I really don't need many things in this world. A contentment that says, life is actually more than this world and its goods. Contentment that says, life is more than money and clothing. And that man indeed does not live on bread alone. A contentment says, I really have all that I need in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Spiritual contentment is saying, on the one hand, I don't need many things in this world, but it is, on the other hand, a longing for the things of the kingdom of God. The scriptures speak of a hungering and a thirsting for God. And here's the beauty of it. Those who hunger and thirst for God and seek after God find satisfaction. It's not that way with those, is it, who seek the things of this world, who seek the things of this world to fulfill themselves and to satisfy themselves with those things. The rich who are greedy and who gain many things only grow in their greed and they never have enough. They're never satisfied. The scriptures teach that those who hunger and thirst for God are filled. They're satisfied with Jesus Christ and with the Word of God. A person who finds satisfaction with the things of God doesn't need many things in this life. And that is the fourth petition, isn't it? Bread. Give us this day daily bread. That's probably not what we would pray for if we were able to make the fourth petition ourselves. Couldn't we have a little more than bread? Steak? And couldn't we have a little bit more than water? Couldn't we have wine? No, Jesus teaches us, pray for bread. And pray for bread only for today. This is where what the apostle says here in verse 8 comes in. He says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Beloved, if all you have is food and raiment, just what you need and nothing else, the spiritually content child of God says, "I'm not poor. I have everything I need and more yet. The salvation of my soul through Jesus Christ." And if you have this humility and this contentment, what then will you ask for? Not what you want. Not anything you think of. Not for the Cadillac or the mansion or even for toys, children. Because that indicates a lack of contentment. That indicates not a spiritual mindedness, but a worldly mindedness and a desire for the things of this earth. But if you pray the fourth petition with the attitude that Jesus Christ teaches and requires of us, and there are many things that you might want to ask for, but you won't. You ask only for your needs. And then you will move on to the fifth and sixth petition. Ask for the forgiveness of sins and for the power to live a holy life. But then also, with your request for only the needs of this life, remember to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Thank God for whatever material things you have. They came from Him. Thank Him for giving you what you need. Thank Him for giving you in abundance, for surely you have more than you need. And you didn't ask for it. You don't need it. But He gave it. Thank Him. And even if you want, you're sick, you're poor, thank Him for providing your greatest need, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and blessing you with eternal life. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for giving us the gift of prayer. We thank Thee also for teaching us how to pray and for promising that if we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, asking, seeking, and knocking, the door will be opened unto us. We will receive the answer of salvation of our souls through Jesus Christ, and the answer in which we receive all things that we need in this life to serve that salvation. We thank Thee for this comfort and assurance. Hear our prayers for Christ's sake. Amen.